This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Frankie, I think. Frankie Avalon. Boy, that was way back. I wonder what Frankie Avalon has been doing these days. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I can tell you what we're doing. We're presenting to you all kinds of important things and fun things. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Friday morning, January 24th. This is the March for Life Day, by the way, in Washington, D.C., and we're going to be talking about it. In a few minutes, Thomas Chipping will join us from the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk, in light of the march, about the lethal legacy of Roe versus Wade. So I think you'll find that very interesting. Also, today is the last day for the Democratic prosecutors on offense in the Trump impeachment trial. Tomorrow we begin the administration's turn to present their case. So we're going to get thoughts on all of this from the proprietor of our nation's greatest poll. Of course, that's the barber poll, Andrew Ceresi. So stay tuned for that. And we're going to look at school choice in Montana, which, by the way, is now before the Supreme Court. It could open up more scholarships and voucher programs for religious schools. Very important case. And New Jersey is going to require LGBTQ studies for kids in public schools. Is that a good idea? We'll talk about that. And finally, our ultimate top 10. The top 10 states most Californians are moving to. Yeah. You know, you've heard about California with all their troubles. Where are all those people going to? We'll tell you. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, you guys. It's Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. And I can tell you, it's great. Great experience, great ambiance, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. Also, please, visit our website, ourfreedomworks.com. You will be able to hear our show at any time because Ed sets up all our shows on podcast. So listen to us at your leisure. Our shows are so good, you may want to listen a second time. Ourfreedomworks.com. Okay, there's lots going on. And President Trump is going to be the first, you know, he's been the first president to do a lot of things, right? He opened up the embassy in Tel Aviv. He was, despite everybody else, he was the first to do that. Trump plans to be the first president to address the March for Life. Personally, he will be there. It's an annual rally of pro-life demonstrators that's held every January 24th, the day that Roe versus Wade came out. And his surprise announcement is his latest gesture of support for a cause dear to the hearts of many people in this country. Now, the media always played down that march. And in fact, I'm reading this story from the New York Times, which is not a big proponent of pro-life philosophy. But he's going to be the first president to be there. Even Ronald Reagan, who was very pro-life, never showed up publicly. He would broadcast over the, they'd broadcast his voice over the loudspeakers, but he was in the White House at the time. So there'll be hundreds of thousands of people, most likely, in this March for Life. We're going to see about it. And, Trump is glad to go there. He doesn't mind taking the flack from the media to be there to show his support. Somehow, preserving the right to life for unborn children in the eyes of many is a sin. I don't think so. I think it's a good thing. In the meantime, Republicans are using the threat of a protracted, long trial if witnesses are called. And they're trying to dissuade Democrats from calling people like John Bolton to testify at Trump's impeachment trial. And they're also threatening to call people like Hunter Biden and the whistleblower and Joe Biden and Adam Schiff. Democrats don't want that. By the way, it's very interesting how every time I'm listening to, again, I don't know why anybody would be listening. They drone on and on and on. But whenever they talk about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, as in, there's nothing to look for there. This whole thing has been cleared. No, it hasn't. Nobody's cleared anything. And it's as if you can't talk about that because we're here to talk about Trump and what he was doing. And Hunter and Joe Biden have nothing to do with it. They have everything to do with it. It's the reason that Trump asked the president of the Ukraine to take a look. He wanted them to take a look at corruption, possible corruption, which there was. Of course there was. They didn't hire Hunter Biden at Burisma Energy in the Ukraine because of his intense understanding of Ukrainian energy. They hired him to have access to both Joe Biden, the vice president, and Barack Obama, the president. Come on. You don't think there was hanky-panky going on and then paying him all that money? And you can't look into that? Are you nuts? Of course you can. He had every right to. But they don't want to talk about that, and they don't want no stinking witnesses that would bring that up. So there you go.
You know why I can't listen to that? I can't listen to that. Because my BS meter has a very short fuse.
Yeah.
You know, like when you meet somebody, you go out and you meet somebody.
You know
new,
right away.
And somebody stands there and loads you with BS, I have to walk away. I have to. I cut right through it, and I'm like, first 10, 15 seconds, you can tell.
Yeah.
Either put strap on a pair of boots and stand there and listen to him, or walk away.
Exactly.
So I just turn the channel.
You don't want to drown in it. Well, I think most of people are like you, Ed, and I was not able to listen to it. I would listen to bits and parts of it, and I like that kind of torture, you know. But even me, I couldn't listen to it for that long. It just... And now the Republicans will get their shot starting tomorrow, Saturday. There won't be as big of an audience, I'm sure. But then again, how big an audience was there really listening to that stuff? I don't think so. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, Thomas Gipping of the Heritage Foundation, we're going to talk about the lethal legacy of Roe versus Wade.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on The Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday morning on Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for listening in. And we're delighted to have Tom Gipping join us. He is a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation and deputy director of the Edwin Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. And he's penned a piece on the Heritage website, The Lethal Legacy of Roe versus Wade. Tom, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you very much for having me.
Our pleasure. I'm really delighted to have you, Tom. I'm looking at some of the things that you wrote. And one of the things right at the front, never has a single decision with so many flaws and such a grisly result gained such dominance over so many. You're talking about Roe versus Wade, which was rendered in 1973. I've always wondered, you know, one of the first things, is it in the preamble to the Constitution, the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? Do we just ignore that phrase? I mean, it was such a... try to explain a little bit, if you don't mind, the wild reasoning in 1973 that allowed the right to an abortion.
Well, it's a long decision. The opinion of the court, written by Justice Harry Blackmun, it's a long opinion, but only a single statement in the whole opinion, and it covers. I mean, the opinion covers the history of abortion and all sorts. I mean, it roams across the land, but the whole thing, the heart of it all, is a single sentence, and all the court said was that the right of privacy includes the right of a woman to terminate her pregnancy. That's it.
Yeah.
And the court provided no precedent for that. The court provided no legal authority for that. And the right to privacy that the court was referring to, that had been supposedly established 8 years earlier in another case involving contraception, that decision was just as kind of detached from the Constitution as Roe versus Wade. It comes down to this. The Supreme Court said that the Constitution protects the right to abortion because they said so. In other words, the Founding Fathers wrote the Constitution down for a very important reason, and that is because, as the Supreme Court had said a long time ago, so that what the Constitution does would be neither mistaken nor forgotten. Mm-hmm. Good way to keep it clear is to write it down. Well, then you wouldn't expect to find unwritten things in a written Constitution.
Yeah.
The Constitution does not provide a right to abortion. The Supreme Court wanted one, so they effectively wrote a different constitution.
Yeah, they created
this one. They did.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I always thought, if indeed we know that is a human life inside the womb, and a mother has the right to terminate that life, why stop it before birth? How about allowing the parents to terminate the life of their child, say, up till age 7. I mean, where do you draw the line on that nonsense?
Those kind of proposals have been made. Some well-known academic types, Peter Singer and others, have suggested exactly that.
You're
that
kidding.
There might be infanticide up to a year after birth so that parents can decide whether they want to have or keep those children.
Good Lord.
And remember, New York State now has a law that withdraws legal protection from children who survive abortions. And the New York State law even says that if a pregnant woman is injured or killed and her child dies as well, even if she wanted to keep the child, this has nothing to do with abortion, that there's no legal consequences. So we're already at the point where what had been kind of reserved for that thing called a fetus, you know, that's kind of out of sight and out of mind, the logic of the deadly logic of that has already extended past birth. It has already extended past abortion. And it's that the power of the state to simply say that this category of human beings shouldn't be protected and this category should. I mean, there are regimes all over this world that operate that way, but I wouldn't want to live there.
No. So the March for Life today, and President Trump will be the first one to publicly be there. Is that going to be an important event?
It is. If, in a couple of respects, the March for Life began literally on the very first anniversary of Roe versus Wade in 1974. And the fact that hundreds of thousands of people come here every year after almost half a century is I think, unequaled with regard to any issue or any cause. And, you know, we've had almost 50 years of relentless propaganda about how important abortion is, how the Constitution supposedly protects it, that the killing of children is somehow central to the definition of female empowerment and all this. And yet, you're going to see what you're going to see today. Now, to be fair, previous presidents, George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, and Reagan, spoke to the crowds. They did so live, you know, from the White House.
Right.
But Trump will be the first president to appear in person in the 47 years that this march has been going on. It is a very strong statement as to what the leader of our country stands for with regard to the protection of human life.
We're talking with Tom Gipping. He is indeed a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, deputy director of the Edwin Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. Tom, you know, I was disappointed. I remember when Reagan, you know, who was very pro-life, but wouldn't show up personally. I was kind of disappointed, but that just shows you the mood at the time. And I'm wondering if the mood today in regards to abortion, it seems to me, I don't know, it just does seem to me that there has been a movement towards the pro-life side of the ledger, maybe a little bit more. Am I wrong about that?
Well, I guess have a little different perspective on President Reagan. I mean, he did do some things that have become really legendary in the pro-life movement, and I'm thinking in particular in 1983, 10 years after Roe versus Wade, he authored an essay called Abortion and the Conscience of the Nation, which was originally published in the Human Life Review, but has since sort of taken on a really significant status. If people are able to find that, it should be easy to find. Please read it, because President Reagan really put in common sense, plain terms, what the issue is with regard to abortion. He said, you know, it's not the question of when life begins, it is the question of the value of human life. It was just a really profound, sincere presentation that has really equipped and educated a lot of people about the heart of this issue since then. You know, there's a lot more capability today in terms of communication and ways of organizing. There's been efforts in recent years to broaden the base of the pro-life movement. And I think that's been successful. I'm always encouraged how many young people come to the March for Life every year because, of course, they've got to carry the movement forward.
Right.
But, you know, the heart of this issue has always been the same. Abortion kills children. There's no way around that. It's a fact, just like today is Friday. And people have to decide whether that matters or it doesn't.
Yeah, I was... I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I just was going to say, it just astounds me that this ever happened. I don't know. It just astounds me that it ever happened, that at some point people actually thought that they could get away with that, and they have gotten away with it. But now we've gotten some cases that are coming before the Supreme Court, right, that may chip away a little bit at this Roe versus Wade. Tell us about that.
Well, the process of getting the Supreme Court to change its mind, once they've interpreted the Constitution in a particular way, the only way to change that is either a constitutional amendment, which is very hard, or to get the court to reconsider its position. That gets harder and harder as the years go along because the issue is just more and more settled as far as the courts are concerned, but there are continuing efforts to do that. The sort of theory behind Roe versus Wade, the reasoning of it, has been very unsettled and very controversial from the very start. I mean, some of the biggest critics in the early years of the nonsense that passes for that opinion have come from liberal scholars. And, you know, the piece that you referred to that I wrote, I do want people to know, it's really the way that the Supreme Court got to its conclusion that's the most dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not simply that the conclusion legalized abortion, but they got to that conclusion by making up a new constitution. And if they can do that with regard to abortion, they can do that with regard to anything.
Yeah.
And whoever controls the constitution controls the country. So people have to, I think, put this in a little bit broader perspective. Whatever your opinion specifically about abortion, we all ought to agree 5 members of the Supreme Court should not run the country.
Right. Now, you mentioned in your article that the Dred Scott decision has always been something that, you know, even kids in school learn about, having to do with slavery. And, you know, slavery at one point was very legal in this country, and then all of a sudden... it was indeed turned around. And I'm wondering, do you think it would be harder to turn this abortion issue around than the slavery issue?
I do, just because there are you know, different kinds of political dynamics involved and different political interests really are invested in this abortion thing. I use that example because the dissenting opinion in Dred Scott, Justice Benjamin Curtis, he explained why that decision and why Roe versus Wade would be seriously wrongheaded because it was the product of a Supreme Court and the justices' personal opinions, the justices' personal preference, not the Constitution properly interpreted. And so that principle, that danger, has been around and warned about for a long time. And obviously, Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court did not heed that warning, but we really need to heed it if we want to keep control of our country and we want to keep our liberty. It's the people who should be deciding those things, not the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and the states. I mean,
that's
the
right.
States should have that
the
right,
people,
right?
The people through their elected representatives, primarily their elected representatives in the states. But our system of government was designed certainly that the judicial branch and as few as 5 members of the Supreme Court should certainly not have that power to control what our Constitution means. And that's the real principle here that even goes beyond. It's even bigger than Roe versus Wade, as monstrous as that decision was. It stands for a very important choice that we as Americans have to make.
Wow. Well, Tom, it's a real pleasure to have you on and talk about this. It's such an important issue. And, you know, maybe down the road, the Supreme Court will act one way or the other. And I'd love to have you back on again.
I'd love to be there. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Tom Jepping, Heritage Foundation. Very interesting. Today's March for Life. And I was glad to be able to have him on, talk a little bit about that. Okay, let us take our break. And when we come back, we're going to have to talk a little bit about this impeachment situation. So let's bring in the proprietor of the most important poll in the country, the Barber Poll.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. And delighted to have the proprietor of the only poll that really counts in this country, if you stop and think about it, the Barber Poll, Andrew Sorese. And Andrew, we've gotten through, what, two or three days? This is day three of the impeachment prosecutors presenting their case, and then tomorrow the administration gets its chance in this Trump impeachment circus. Are you going to be listening to any of that? And have you been listening? And what are your thoughts? Yes, sir.
I might have flipped on here and there, but when Adam Schiff said, I don't know if you heard him or not yesterday, he was talking about Russia could attack the mainland here.
Yeah, he
made
did
me
bring
nervous,
up Russia.
I had to go get my food supply. I wanted to make sure my house was buttoned in. He got me really nervous with
that
one.
I went outside and started looking up at the sky just in case. Yes, go ahead.
Well, right. This guy is a whack job.
Yeah. Oh, there's no question about it.
He's totally losing it. What is this guy on?
I know. And you know what? They go over and over. They seem to regurgitate. Maybe it's because they got too much time on their hands.
Everything is unfair.
Yeah, but
everything
I mean,
is unfair.
They're
unfair,
going
unfair,
over
unfair,
and
unfair.
Over the same things, aren't they?
Yep,
they're nothing new. They're not bringing in anything new. I think
it's
they know they're
gonna
losing.
It's not going to be a fair trial unless he's found guilty.
Right.
You understand? That's the only way it's going to be a fair trial. Well, these guys are nuts. Tomorrow when they get on there, I don't think this thing is even, I think they're just going to vote to get rid of it. It's such a ridiculous thing.
I was wondering about that. If McConnell might say at the end of this thing today, the prosecution, if indeed when it's time for the administration to defend itself, if the first thing that McConnell does is say, we're going to call for a vote on whether or not to continue this, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think they're going to. They got nothing, Paul. It's the same thing. They wanted to call other witnesses because they thought they were going to go fishing for something else. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
What are they going to call? What's his name in there? The old Secretary of Defense? I can't remember his name.
Well,
now.
We have Bolton. They're going to call him,
but he ain't going to say nothing.
No.
Who are they going to call? Hunter Biden? Hunter Biden's going to take the fifth the whole time. It's nothing but a waste of time.
Hunter Biden, by the way, is hiding out. Seriously, he's hiding out in California. They did find him in some mansion out there.
They'll probably find him on the streets where all the needles are and stuff. Eventually, you never know. He might get suicided. He knows too much.
Oh, God. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, Paul, it's getting to the point where it's ridiculous. Trump is still out doing what he's got to be doing.
Yeah.
Getting things done. Okay, I mean, the facts are the facts. Meanwhile, the senators that are running for president, they're the Democrats, they're getting nervous.
Yeah.
They might miss the caucus in Iowa.
Yeah. Even Lisa Murkowski, who the Democrats are hoping as a Republican senator from Alaska might turn on Trump, she got upset with the way the case was being presented. Also, Susan Collins of Maine. Both these are the moderate Republicans in the Senate, and both of them are indicating that they don't like the way this thing is being laid out.
Because they called them names already.
Yeah.
They called them names.
And a cover-up.
It does nothing but a cover-up.
Right.
Nothing but a cover-up. Paul, the party's over with them. And, you know, did you hear Rudy Giuliani this morning? He happened to be on Fox.
Yes, he's...
This is all going to go down. You know, he knows he's a marked man right now. But you notice what he said, too? And he said, listen, I got plans. If anything is to happen to me, this stuff that I got is going all over the world. He goes, I already got plans in place.
Well, do you think his life is in danger? Giuliani,
of course.
You think so?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So
he's got dirt on him, Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, Giuliani, if he says something, you better go by what he's saying, because the guy backs up what he says.
Yeah.
If he's saying he's got smut on him, believe me. I mean, from what I heard before, he's got something about Obama and all of them laundering $5.7 billion in who knows how many years, okay?
So do you think, let's assume that they continue with the trial and that they do not... vote to end it here. Do you think that witnesses will indeed be called, as in Bolton and on the other side, Hunter?
No.
Okay.
Bolton, Trump is going to silence him with executive order. Why waste the time?
Right.
It ain't going to happen, Paul.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I don't foresee this trial going on at all. There's too many, we got to be preparing for the Russians to attack here.
Yes, we do.
Okay, I mean, this could happen at any time, according to Mr. Schiff.
Yeah, Mr. Schiff has warned us. I wonder if he's getting prepared.
He probably got his one bullet that they keep let him hold every now and then.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know.
I wonder who he'll use it on. He's sort of like the Barney Fife. Are you saying he's like the Barney Fife of the House?
Yeah, he does, but that's putting poor Barney down.
Well, that's true, but Barney got only one bullet. I don't think he ever
used it. That's right.
He never used it.
That's right.
So,
couldn't even put it in his gun. He was shaking too much.
So I wanted to get your take. I'll find the story here. Your buddy Elizabeth Warren got confronted on her student loan exoneration. You know she's going to exonerate everybody that's got a student loan, right?
And someone's going to pay for it, Paul.
Right. An angry father confronted Warren, saying that those who responsibly paid back these loans would get screwed under her student debt cancellation. He said to her, I just want to ask one question. My daughter is getting out of school. I have saved all my money. She doesn't have any student loans. Am I going to get my money back? And Warren said, of course not. So he says, So you're going to pay for people who didn't save any money, and those of us who did the right thing get screwed.
That's fine. He's on the money, Paul.
I know.
Listen. Paul, they're not going anywhere.
I mean,
okay?
It's so stupid.
You got Hillary already moaning about Bernie Sanders. She's trying to take it away from him again.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren, she's not going anywhere. Biden, his dementia is plugging in heavy duty lately. I mean, it ain't happening, man. Trump is going to landslide. Look, there's so many Democrats going over to the Republican side. You're moderate Democrats.
Yeah.
Look at AOC. The Democrats aren't far enough to the left, she said. They need to be more to the left.
Yes.
What are they, nuts?
You know, another thing, which I think makes it all the much more fun to watch, is that all of these people that are on the Democratic side, with all due respect, they're all kind of strange. Are they not? Schiff.
Come on. Think about the Democrat. Listen.
Think about Schiff. Think about the way
they're all nuts looking. Paul, they were all losers.
Exactly.
They're all losers growing up.
The way that Warren handles herself. I mean, it's like.
They were all the losers in high school. They went and got their education, and they've been pushing for free stuff ever since.
Yeah.
Paul, they were all the losers.
There's some truth to it.
Look at your Democrat women. Look at the Republican women.
Yeah. Well, I know we're getting a little bit, this is.
I know, but I'm just telling you. Just look at it.
Yeah,
just look at it.
I can't disagree. I can't disagree.
I mean, you know, the Democrats, you know where they take all their polls, don't you? They take them at a Walmart entrance.
They do?
Yes. Go stand out there one day. You'll see them taking the poll. Mm-hmm. And they're asking all the people going into the Walmarts, man.
Well, there's a lot of Walmart Republicans. I've always thought.
Yeah, but they walk by the people taking the poll.
Oh,
I see.
Tell. Okay.
Yeah, you can tell. They walk right by them.
I want to also bring up, this is kind of off-site a little bit, but I want to get your take on it anyway. You know the Chick-fil-A people?
Yep.
Okay. In San Antonio, the whole city has spent over $300,000 in legal fees to bar Chick-fil-A from opening at the airport. They're spending taxpayer money there to keep Chick-fil-A from opening at the airport. Now, you tell me, what in the heck is going on with something like that? Why can't Chick-fil-A have a restaurant in the San Antonio airport?
They should be able to have one anywhere they want, Paul.
It's because there is a perception that the corporate people at Chick-fil-A are pro-life and pro-heterosexuality.
They're Christian,
Paul. And pro-Christianity. And so somehow that bars them from being allowed to have a restaurant?
Well, you know, they're wasting taxpayers' money. It's a bunch of baloney, Paul. It's just like them trying to take away the guns. It's no different.
Yeah.
They're just more and more communism. Not even socialism. This is communism, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Telling you what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, how you're going to do it. Bloomberg wants to tell you what to eat, what to drink. Come on.
These people are all nuts. They really are a band of sideshow
freaks. I want to know how Bloomberg got all his money. When the guy talks, he talks like a fool. How do you get all his money buying that? Being that stupid?
I don't know. He started the Bloomberg News thing.
Did he? He must have married a rich woman.
I think he actually did earn. You got to give him some credit. I think he did expand a news service that.
I'm trying to give him credit.
Okay,
I'm trying.
Okay. Yeah. he's not going anywhere. I don't know. He's
Paul. They don't have nobody. I'm telling you. I'm still waiting for Hillary to say she's going to do it for him, man. She's going to bring the country back.
You think she's still thinking about coming back in and entering?
I hope she does. Mm-hmm. That's the most hated woman in the world.
It would be really fun to have her in, and especially because she and her love for Bernie Sanders, we would have that on display, too.
Oh, I'm telling you, Paul, it'd be a popcorn show. It'd be a big sellout. What about Harvey Weinstein? You see him these days, the poor guy's walking with a walker. Aren't they feeding him, put in jail or what?
All of a sudden, he can barely walk. It's funny how so many, you know, the same thing happened to the black actor that got caught with, he all of a sudden became...
crippled, too?
Yeah, what was his name? Oh, come on, Paul. The black...
Not Jesse Smollett.
No. Bill Cosby.
Oh, yeah. Well, I never seen him walking with a walker.
Oh, he's going blind.
Is he?
And they were holding on to his... Yeah, all of a sudden, he's going blind. And,
well, you know, if you're in jail, Paul, you know what they say when you go blind sometimes. You're in jail, you don't know what's going on.
I do, yeah. Wow. Anyway, we got all of these weird sideshow freaks that we're watching. It's just, it boggles the mind, but
amazing, Paul. It's a freak show.
I know.
The Democrat Party is a freak show, and the people that follow them, look at the rallies they hold. Look at these people.
I know. You know, another thing about that rally, going back to that rally in Virginia that we talked about, the gun rights rally, all those people clean up after themselves when
they're thrown.
That's
right. There was no dump. Of course it did. Look at the place was spotless.
Yeah.
Look at when they have one of their women rights rallies and the feminist rallies.
Right, exactly.
It's terrible. They're pigs.
Exactly right. It'll be interesting to see how this pro-life rally in Washington, D.C. goes in terms
of President Trump is the first president going, Paul.
Yeah, indeed.
He's not afraid of what he believes, is he, to make the people happy?
No,
huh?
He's got guts.
He's got guts, he's got and that's courage. Why he's where he is, Paul.
Yeah, you're right about that, Andrew.
And that's why he's going to landslide like you've never seen come this November.
So do you think that the impeachment trial will end next week?
I think there's a good possibility. Mm-hmm. I think there's a good possibility. And you know what I think we got to start really focusing on here? We know we got Trump elected. We got to start focusing on local elections here. A lot of these Democrats that are in office out.
Right. Well, yeah, there are some very interesting elections. Do you think Charlie Crist has a chance to be kicked out of office? We've had, as you know, we've
you
had...
You know, he's got the chance to be kicked out of there. You know, the problem is it's St. Pete. It's a liberal city. That's a big part of his district.
Right, it is.
And, you know, Charlie's got a way to get money all the time.
He
does. You know
what
I'm saying? He's a big fundraiser. But he's got to go. We got to beat him. The footwork has got to be on the ground, and I'm going to be focusing on getting his rear end out of there, believe me.
I know you are. Andrew is very much of a local fighter for what he believes in. Andrew, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and I'm looking forward to being with you again next week.
You got it, buddy. It's going to be a great weekend. I can't wait to see the rebuttal tomorrow.
Yeah, that should be fun. Thanks, Andrew.
All right, buddy. Be good.
All right. There he goes. Andrew the Master Barber. Wow. Let's take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk, among other things, about the top 10 states that Californians are moving to.
Oh, well, come on, everybody, let's get together tonight.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridges all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Return the sender. Return the sender.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you for joining us. We're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Network. Ed, do you remember or know of the name Jim Lehrer? PBS News Hour, McNeil Lehrer. Do you remember any of that?
PBS?
PBS, yeah, public broadcasting.
Yeah, I know what it is. I just...
You don't remember Jim Lehrer, huh?
No, I never watched that show.
No, I know, but he was well known. Jim Lehrer died. Oh. He was the co-founder of the PBS News Hour. It was called the McNeil Lehrer Report. Lehrer died yesterday at age 85. He was... well-liked by everybody. He was right down the middle. I think he was a bit of a liberal. And, of course, the PBS network is liberal. But he always seemed to be fair. Throughout his career, he interviewed people like Margaret Thatcher and Yasser Arafat. He interviewed South Korean presidents, Chinese leaders. And he moderated 12 presidential debates. That's more than anybody else. 12. He moderated every presidential debate leading up to the 96 and 2000 elections. So just a tip of the cap and a salute to Jim Lehrer. Now, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has signed a law requiring public schools to include LGBTQ-related instruction. What the heck is going on that these kids are now going to be given that kind of stuff? Don't we got enough to educate them with without bringing that in? Garden State Equality, I guess, an advocacy group that pushed for this, has developed a model curriculum and selected districts to launch this thing. Good Lord. I'm telling you, I'm not kidding. If I had grade school kids and I heard they were going to be introducing that kind of stuff, I would pull them out and take them to a private school. Mm-hmm. I would. They have no right. No right to start talking. This is behavior issues. Now, let the parents talk about it with the kids. That's different. But to force it down the kids' throat, they don't even know what it means.
They're the same ones that don't
They don't
want...
even know what it means. These kids are not, they haven't even reached puberty.
Those are the same ones that want religion taken out of the schools, too.
Yeah.
They don't, you know.
Yeah.
They want it replaced with that, probably.
Yeah. In fact, I just wanted to touch, glad you brought that one up about the religion, because the Supreme Court is looking at a case in Montana that has to do with religion and religious schools and whether or not they have a right to get vouchers and that kind of a thing. The plaintiffs in a major school choice case, for which the court has been hearing oral arguments, say they're very confident about their chances of getting the Supreme Court to side with them in a case that could open the door to more scholarship and voucher programs across the United States for religious schools. The case centers around a tax credit scholarship program that was passed in 2015 that gives the state of Montana and Montanans up to a $150 credit for donating to private scholarship organizations. Now, those private scholarship organizations at this point are not allowed to be religious. And that's what this argument is all about. Why not, is what these people that are bringing the suit are saying. And shouldn't these donations also go to kids if they want to go to a private religious school? So this is what it's all about, and the Supreme Court is looking at it. Be very interesting to see where that will go. There's a lot of very important cases, by the way, that the Supreme Court is considering this session. We've already talked about the abortion case situation, and there are others as well. And finally, the merits of green tea. Did you know that green tea might prolong your life? Have you heard about that? A new study recently concluded by researchers with the Chinese Academy of Medical Sciences. Of course, China makes a lot of tea, so this might be some sort of a PR thing, but the Chinese Academy of Medical Sciences says that researchers found habitual tea drinkers, who they defined as drinking tea at least three times or more per week, had longer and healthier lives than those who did not drink tea as regularly. So let's get the tea out, Ed.
I think China's just trying to make up for the loss in the new trade agreement.
Well, that could be too. It says here these benefits were only seen in those who drank green tea, not black tea. Apparently the black tea does not fall into that category. To come to the conclusion, researchers analyzed 101,000 Chinese participants with no history of heart attack, stroke, or cancer, divided them into two groups, those who drank tea more than three times a week and those who did not. And then they were then followed up after 7 years. And by the end, the researchers said the regular tea drinkers had a 20% lower risk of getting a heart attack or a stroke and a 22% lower risk of dying from heart disease and stroke. So there you go. Take green tea and live longer. Aha. All right. It is time for our top 10. I think this is kind of interesting, Ed. You know how people are sick of California with all the trouble and the fires and the homelessness and the Democrats raising taxes on everybody and the cost of everything. Okay. So what are the top 10 states that Californians are moving to if they're leaving? And they are leaving. For many years, more people have been leaving California than have moved there, according to data from the American Community Survey. So from between 2007 to 2016, about 5 million people moved in, but 6 million left. Where did they go? Here we go. These are the top 10 states. Number 10, Georgia, of all places. I don't know why. They moved all the way across the country to Georgia. I guess it's Atlanta. Then maybe they were getting a good job there. Who knows? But about 55,000 people during 2007 to 2016 moved to Georgia. Number 9. Another curious one, Oklahoma. Oklahoma, 65,000 people, Californians, moved to Oklahoma, maybe because of the oil. Number 8, Idaho. I guess 70,000, they moved there because of the potatoes, right?
That's kind of one going from one extreme to the other.
Yeah, Idaho and Oklahoma.
If you want to disappear, go to Idaho.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of...
I've never met anybody who said, you know, I said, where are you from? Idaho. I've never met anybody from Idaho.
It must be somebody. They got Boise there. It's a fairly decent-sized city. Okay, number 7. Utah. They go to Utah. Now, about 75,000 of them went to Utah. Maybe they wanted to have more than one wife. Number 6. To one of your favorite places, Ed, Colorado. They moved to Colorado. 95,000 people from California moved to Colorado.
I'm noticing on some of the DIY or DIY channels that a lot of people buying land in the middle of nowhere and living off the grid. Now, with the updated solar technology and all that stuff, you don't need electricity anymore. There's enough to power by the sun and wind and all
Is
that
there?
Stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, you can buy a piece of land, you know, very cheap, build your own house, and be off the grid completely.
As long as you have enough sun days, right? Because you got to get
all
that.
Well, here's the thing. If you have solar power, you also have wind power.
Okay.
You know, so, you know.
Yeah.
Most solar rigs will last 3 days without sun. Most. So yeah.
I'm looking for the day when you're not held by these utility companies. And you
it's getting closer.
I think
it's getting closer.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, number 5. Washington State. Well, that's not surprising. 150,000 Californians between 07 and 16 moved to Washington State. Number 4, just to the north, Oregon. 160,000 people moved to Oregon during that period from California. Number 3, Nevada, another border state, right? They all went to Salt Lake City. Why throw your money away in California when you can have fun throwing it away in Las Vegas? 170,000 moved there. Number 2, Arizona. Well, of course, that's another one that borders them. 180,000 people moved there. Okay, Ed.
Oh, this is a no-brainer.
Okay, Ed.
I'm going to say right where we're sitting in Florida.
Okay, Ed, let's find out if you are right. No.
Really?
It's Texas. Yeah. Texas.
Yeah, what does anybody want to go to Texas for?
Now, Florida is so far away. That's why I was surprised about Georgia. It's just too far away. If Florida was nearby California, I agree.
There's two states I will absolutely not live in, even if it was free. One is Arizona, and the other, a close second, is Texas.
Why Texas? Why wouldn't you live there?
I just don't like Texas. I've been to Texas, and... It's almost like a foreign country.
You don't like cowboys. You discriminate against cowboys. That's why. Anyway, thank you for joining us here on Freedom Works. We will be back on Monday. Have a great weekend. Bye for now.